Each week?
That would be Sunday nights.
At 7 o'clock on WTAN. And also be sure to check our website,
www.entertainmentandthearts.com.
And you can sign up there to be on our weekly email notification list.
Very good. So join us Sundays at 7 p.m.
on WTAN, Entertainment and the Arts. See you on the radio.
This weekend on Radio Bullseye, Sunday, Charlie Morris, blues guitarist, along with Mike Chavers, will be here in studio. Monday night is a big night. That's Mordecai Vanunu, the Israeli patriot. You can't miss that one. Tuesday, Professors Joseph Palermo and Stan Oden. That's primary night. All things politics that night. Wednesday, Sophia Smallstrom is going to be on here talking about the IRS. And on Thursday, we're going to have Chris Ingram and Cliff Schechter in here again arguing about John McCain. Bullseye, Sunday through Thursdays at midnight. Join us.
This is Reverend Sue Griffin, inviting you to join me every Sunday evening at 6 o'clock for Spiritually Speaking. You can change your life by seeing it from the perspective of love and light through the awareness of spiritual energetics, mysticism, and soul purpose. So tune in and call in Sunday evening at 6 here on 1340 and 1350 AM or streaming live on TANTALK1340.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
There's a river I want to swim in. There's a river I want to live in. It's the river, the river of anointing. It's the
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you every week at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in Dunedin, Florida, and we are excited to be able to be with you today. It's always fun to be able to share God's Word and talk to you about what God is doing, and He's doing some mighty things in these days. It's an exciting time. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I am with you live today, and usually we are live every Sunday at this time. It's been a glorious time in a lot of people's lives, and also probably a difficult time in quite a few people's personal lives. There's a lot going on these days. God is doing some new things, and He's also encouraging us every day to rely on Him for the wisdom and the strength to get through what it is we're going through that day. There's a lot going on in our personal lives, but it's all good. God is getting the glory for the miracles and the wonderful things that are happening. Connie, are you with me on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
There you are. Connie's not live in the studio with me today because she's on her way to work, but I appreciate you calling in. Where were we last Sunday at this time, Connie?
Oh, my gosh. We were in Pensacola having the time of our lives.
Weren't we? Wow.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I hope some of our new friends up there at New Hope Christian Center are listening today. Maybe they are.
I hope so, too. Give them a shout-out.
Yeah, a shout-out that we just loved being with them, and we just thought it was great to be there and minister last Sunday in that beautiful new congregation and their new building and everything. God, we really blessed the service. We made a lot of new friends, didn't we, Connie?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then they took us to Macaroni Grill for lunch, like 35 of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We love meeting new people as we minister in different parts of the state and other states. God's doing a new thing with Beacon of Hope Ministries, isn't he, Con?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, last week was just the beginning of what God is doing and sending us out on the road. In fact, you and I mentioned here on the air maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago that God was taking the ministry on the road. And I think this was, Well, it's maybe been 3 or 4 weeks or longer. And then he immediately did that, didn't he? And we had an invitation to come to Pensacola. So.
And then a car drove through the front of our building.
Then the big old SUV plowed through the front of the building, and we began to make some changes in the ministry, didn't we?
Yeah,
it was a busy time. The last 3 or 4 weeks have been very busy for us at Beacon of Hope. We had to move everything into three storage units where all of our church items still sit, all the chairs, appliances, platform, musical instruments, all of that. And we're going to talk in a few minutes about where we are meeting now, because we are meeting. We are excited about that. And we're in kind of a little change time, wouldn't you say, Connie?
Yes, but I think it's a good change.
Yes, it is.
Fantastic.
Well, we never know what God's going to do, and we need to be open to that, you know, in our lives. And I guess if anybody would have told me a few weeks ago that all of our furniture and all of our everything would be in storage, I would have had a hard time with that. I guess I'm glad I didn't know, Con.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Because I like the excitement of, you know, the surprise.
Yes, yes. And God is a God of surprises, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how many times have we said that he goes suddenly and then things change, you know, in our lives?
Yes.
There might be some people listening today that have had some suddenly moments lately in their lives where things are kind of going along normal, as normal can be, and then suddenly God shifts a lot of things. In fact, you and I, as we drove last week, Connie, we were talking about that word shift, how God is doing that. He's shifting things, and really it's always and always about God getting glory in our circumstances, isn't it?
Yes, and making sure that we meet his priorities, not ours.
Exactly. So often we have our own agenda, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, we go along and we do what we feel like God is telling us to do. And in the ministry, we've done that. This is our 7th year as a ministry. Beacon of Hope Ministries is almost 7 years old. And God has done some amazing things. We have seen hundreds of people saved. We've seen so many countless people healed of physical problems. We've seen miracles in our services. We've seen people filled with the Holy Spirit. We have seen so much in 7 years, haven't we, Con?
Oh, yeah. Just phenomenal.
Yes.
And it's amazing when you just trust him to do the work.
Right.
I was thinking about this as I was getting ready for work, and I was thinking, you know, where would I be if I just didn't let him, you know, every little thing he takes care of.
Yes.
I almost spilled my iced tea down the front of the bathroom sink, and I just said, thank you, Jesus, for catching that, you know? I mean, I almost knocked it off.
Right.
And, it, you know, he just knew that I had to get ready and get going, and, you know, I didn't need anything to take up my time.
Slow you down. Right.
Yeah.
But you're saying, Connie, and we say this a lot on Living the Good Life, that God cares about the details of our lives. He cares about what we're going through on a daily basis. You want to comment on that? Because I know you believe that.
Well, you know, I think it's what you believe. You know, if you believe that you have a God that sits up in heaven and strikes you with on the side of the head every time you do something wrong, then that's what you're going to believe. But I just don't think that that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God is love, and
Amen.
He loves us.
Amen.
He knows we're not perfect. He knows that we're not ever going to do the right thing all the time.
Right.
But and you know, he gives us second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, 20 millionth time chances.
Right.
You know, to do it again. Do-overs.
Why does he give us those do-overs?
Because he loves us.
Because he loves us. That is the answer. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people, Connie, that have grown up in church settings where legalism was the foundation of that church, where they were always told about the rules, and they were always told about God's watching you, he's going to get you, that kind of stuff. And I think there's a lot of people that need to come out of that mentality. That's how I feel today. And I feel very strongly about that. That God is a God of liberty and grace and mercy, you know?
Yeah, definitely mercy.
Yes.
He has his hands full with me, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's all right. We all have our own little set of idiosyncrasies, right, and the things that make us unique. In the last few days, I've been reading the book of Galatians, Connie, and it is all about the freedom we have in God, where we begin to understand that God loves us so much that he gives us the freedom to be who we are, that he created us uniquely. You know, you're a unique person. You're one of my very, very best friends in all the world, Con. And, but you are so unique. You've got your own set of personality traits and things you like and things you don't like and style of clothes and all that kind of thing, right? And is that okay with God?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he worries about what we wear. You know, there's so many churches hung up on how you look when you come to church, and some of them would have a heart attack if they came to our church.
Yeah, we're pretty casual, aren't we? We're pretty casual, absolutely. And we didn't used to be. I mean, I used to really dress up, as you know, for the first few years of Beacon of Hope. And then I began to realize that times were changing, and talking to other people in the ministry began to realize that it's not about that outward appearance. Yeah, it's good to be neat and clean and, you know, look good and that kind of thing. But there is a time for us to begin to relax in God. You know, that word has been really hitting me hard today, Connie, as I've been praying and studying and spending time with God. The word relax has just really been on my mind today, you know?
Well, think about it. When you're all uptight about things, how much can you really lend out of your mind? You're so worried about how things are and you know, all tensed up that you can't really learn.
Exactly. You got so, yeah. Got to learn to relax.
If I have a tight waistband, I can't learn either.
There you go. You know what we're going to talk about today, Connie, on this show, is how much God loves us and what he instruction that he gives us on how to get along with people. For those of us that are tuning in today that are saying, well, what is this show going to be about? It's going to be about getting along with people. It's going to be about what does God expect of us in the local church, but also in our daily lives. And Connie, you picked a song to begin with today by New Song. It's entitled I'll Rise, and I think it has a lot to say here. And then we're going to play this song, then I'm going to teach for a few minutes, and then Connie will talk to you in just a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
Out of your great love, you came down from glory. The Son of God to set me free. And for all my sin, you gave yourself on Calvary. You rose so I can live again, and I'll rise because you rose, and I'll live because you died for me. I'll love because you first loved me. Oh Lord, you are my life.
Great song. I love that. I'll Rise, my new song. You're listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you every Sunday, live on this radio station, 1340 AM in the Tampa Bay area, and live streamed on the web around the globe. And that's an exciting thing. So you can tell somebody, a friend or a neighbor, to tune in. You can tune us in at www.tantalk1340.com. And you can pick it all up there. Also, we are Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and you can access our website at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You have to have that whole thing there, and it's ministries. So beaconofhopeministries.com. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We are in the book of John right now. We've been studying that book for the last couple months of Beacon of Hope. We are in chapter 13, if you have your Bible, and this is the Last Supper, the story of the Last Supper, and some interesting things happen in John chapter 13 today. If you have your Bible and want to turn along with us, you can. If not, just listen and let God speak to your heart as we teach. It says here in John 13, verse 1, that just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. You see, Jesus was in tune with his Father. He was the Son. He knew the plan. And it says the next sentence is so important. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. And as we're talking today on this show of Living the Good Life, we're talking about that love. We're talking about how to get along with people and what to do in your life, that maybe some changes you can make that are going to change your life from this moment on. And Jesus is our perfect example because he loved his companions, and it says he loved them right to the end. And it was supper time. And the devil had approached Judas, and Judas was firmly in the devil's grip by now. And we all know the story, how Judas did betray Jesus. But I'm in verse 5 of John 13, and it says here that Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything. He knew he came from the Father, and he was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table, and he did something very important. And this act, which was one of the last teaching lessons that he gave his disciples, because that very night he's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he's going to be arrested, and then, of course, die on a cross. For all of us. But this is one of his very last teaching points that he makes. And it's in John 13. And he says, Jesus got up from the supper table. He set aside his robe and he put on an apron. Now, an apron is symbolic of serving. An apron, a lot of cooks, when they're in the kitchen, they'll put on an apron. And this is what Jesus did. He took off the robe and then he put on this apron. And then he poured water into the basin. And water is very important in the Word of God. Water is always symbolic of the Bible, of the Word of God. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 that we should be washed by the water of the Word. And what that means is that your emotional and your spiritual life needs to be cleansed by reading and studying the Word of God. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that the only time they hear any Bible is maybe on a radio broadcast or a TV show, or maybe occasionally if they go to church, and that's about it. And this is one of the things that Beacon of Hope really firmly we believe in, and that is your need personally to get into the Bible, study it, and read it. There, it's not enough for you just to hear an occasional scripture that somebody quotes on the air or that you hear when you go to church once in a while. It's not enough. You need the washing of the water of the Word of God all over your spiritual life and over your emotions. Because as we begin to study the Word of God, we begin to learn how to behave better. And that's one thing we're going to talk about on this show today, is learning how to get along with people better, learning how to behave better, learning how to be Christ-like. Now, interestingly enough, Jesus gives picture lessons all through his 3 years of teaching on this earth. He was always talking in parables. He was always teaching with stories. And in this last teaching lesson that we find in John 13, he gets a apron, puts it on him, and then he pours water into a basin. And then he begins to wash the feet of the disciples. Now, this is extremely important because washing the feet, when they had been on a journey or whatever, this was an act of kindness and hospitality that was done to people as they came in. Say maybe they were invited to somebody's house for dinner. Then they were always, the first thing that was done was their feet were washed because they walked on dusty roads and they walked on you know, with little sandals and so forth. So this was an act of kindness, but it was also an act of service to those disciples. And Jesus begins to wash the feet of the disciples, and he was drying them with that apron that he had. And he got to Simon Peter, and Peter said, "Master, you want to wash my feet?" Now, Peter felt like this was, that he wasn't fit for the master, for Jesus to wash his feet, that he was, I mean, this is the humility of Peter coming out here. And Jesus says, "You don't understand what I'm doing, but it'll be clear enough to you later." And then Peter continues to persist on this because he's not comfortable with Jesus washing his feet. And this is the 8th verse of John 13. And Peter says, "You're not going to wash my feet ever. I'm not going to let you do this." He's watching the other disciples get their feet washed. And he's going, no, that's not for me. No way. And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing." Whoa. This is huge. This is in verse 8 of John 13. Jesus says to Peter, after Peter says, no, I'm not going to let you wash my feet. And then Jesus says, "Wait a minute. If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing." Now, I just said to you that the word of God is always symbolized by water. Okay? And we know that we get cleansed as we read and study the word of God. Because as we're reading, a verse may just jump out at you and you may suddenly realize that God is speaking directly to you through a certain verse of scripture. God may admonish you. He may discipline you with that scripture. He may teach you something important. He may just encourage you with that scripture. And he may remind you that he loves you so much. Whatever it is, the importance of the word of God cannot be minimized. It is huge. For those of you that know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you must take time to read and study the word of God if you are going to grow at all in the things of God. And Peter did not realize that Jesus was talking much more than about his feet. The feet were simply symbolic. The feet take us where we're going, right? And Jesus was cleansing those feet for the next journey, where they were going to go from that point on. And in so many times in our lives, guys, we really need the word of God to cleanse us and wash us and prepare us for the journey ahead. It may be the journey that very day. It may be the journey that you're going to take with God in the next few days or few months. But God's word is what comes and washes you. And Jesus is saying, "If I don't wash you, you can't be a part of this program." And Peter wisely stops arguing. Now, a lot of us argue about this. We say, "You know, I just don't have time to read the Word of God. I am so busy. Oh, if you only knew my schedule, if you only knew that I work 12 hours a day and by the time I get home, I don't have time to open my Bible. And then I have good intentions. And the next morning I get up and I think I'm going to open my Bible. But then the phone rings and I need to talk to so-and-so. And so I never get it read." I've often said at Beacon that it's not okay just to open your Bible on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. It's not okay for your Bible to sit on the dashboard of your car or on the floorboard of your car until you walk into church and then you carry it. That's not okay. The Bible is your instruction manual. It is what is needed in your life to clean you up. It's this water in the basin. You need time with God in your Bible. You need it, and it'll clean you. Well, Peter was so wise here, and he goes, oh, okay, I get it. And he says to Jesus, Master, not only my feet then, wash my hands, wash my head. I think this is so profound. What do our hands do? They work. They do all kinds of things, right? Our hands are so vital to us. Can you imagine if you didn't have a hand? And there are people that have suffered with this, that it makes it very hard for them. Right this minute, I've got a brace on my left wrist, and it's very difficult. There are times that I can't grasp something, and it's getting better and it's getting stronger, but this crazy brace kind of inhibits me a lot of times. And so often we have to come to terms and realize that we have to be washed. Our hands, our head, our emotions, our mind has to be washed with the Word. You know, they tell us, wash your hands more so that germs don't pass from this person to that. Or if you've got a cold, you know, you got to wash your hands so much more. How much more spiritually do we need to be washing ourselves with the water of the Word? And Peter got this point, and he said, okay, fine. You want to wash my feet? Fine. Wash my hands, wash my head, wash all of me. And then Jesus goes on to say, it's not about your hygiene. He says in about verse 10 or 11, he says, it's about your holiness. It's about your attitudes. It's about what makes you who you are. It's about your character, he says to Peter. It's not about your hygiene. It's not about whether or not you take two showers a day or all of that. He says, it is about your holiness. How close to God are you, and how much like Jesus are you? When people bump into you, do they get a little bit of Jesus from you? Do they get a pleasant reply? Do they get something that is sweet, or do they get anger? Do they get bitterness? Do they get resentment when they bump into you? We're going to talk about this today on Living the Good Life, because I propose to you that a lot of problems in churches and in our homes and even in our workplace is because people's attitudes are not being washed by the water of the Word of God. And a lot of people don't even realize that they need it. I'm here to tell you today, the single most important thing for you to do is to read your Bible and let God show you how to behave. This is what we've got to do. And Jesus set the example for us at the Last Supper, and he did it so profoundly by giving them a picture lesson and washing their feet. This showed that he was their servant. You know, a true leader is a servant. A true leader is not somebody that lords it over us. A true leader is a servant. That's the definition, actually, of a minister. A minister is to be a servant leader. And so often we find in churches and in homes and in relationships that it's all about power and control. It's not about serving. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Living the Good Life. Listen to our station ID, and I'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network, broadcast home of Imus in the Morning on AM 1340 WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350 WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel.
All right. Oh, it's a joy to be on this radio station. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. You're listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you every week at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are in our second year of weekly broadcasts on this radio station, and we're proud to be on the station. It's great. The people are wonderful. And Connie, are you back?
Yes.
All right. Haven't you enjoyed this year that we've been on? Now we're starting our second year on the radio.
Oh, yeah. It's really great.
It's a fun ministry, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's nice to get to get response from people from other parts of the world. Actually, we've got people listening in a lot of different states and a lot of different parts of the world. And we're excited about that, that people are tuning in and they're hearing the word of God. And that's what it's all about. It's worth every minute of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me, do you enjoy this ministry, Connie?
I sure do.
Yeah.
The best part is that even if people don't write in and tell us, you know, that they're listening, we just know that we're getting the word out there.
Right.
And, you know, it's not about us because we don't know who is getting it.
Right.
It's all about them.
Exactly. And if we never heard from anyone, we'd still do it.
Sure.
Yeah. Because we feel that God opened this door over a year ago, and we're excited to be on the air every week. I look forward to this every single week. I just can't hardly wait. I'd love, you know, when we first started, Connie, we were on 60 Minutes, and remember how it was? It was just not long enough because we're all so chatty, and we just enjoyed it so much that we went to and we said, can we have an extra 30 minutes? And so that's where we are, 90-minute shows on Sunday afternoon. Our dear friends up in Pensacola have to tune in an hour earlier because they're on whatever time that is. Is that Central Time?
Central Time. Yeah.
And we're on Eastern Standard. Okay. So for all who have tuned in today, we're glad that you have joined us. I wanted to say a little bit here that we have not quit the ministry here in Dunedin. I even had a phone call recently from somebody who said, well, we heard that what happened to your church building, and so evidently you're out of business and you're no longer. No, 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 no. And 100 times no. We are not going to quit what God has given us to do. That was an unfortunate circumstance, but we believe God's going to get some good out of it, and he already has. And this past Wednesday, Connie, we met for the first time at the Howard Johnson's Resort right here on U.S. 19, right beside 580. And it's right next door to the Kia dealership. And we're there on Wednesday nights now from 6 to 9. From 6 to 7, we've got prayer and praise time. And then I start teaching about 7, and we try to get done about 8:30. Interactive Bible study. What does interactive Bible study mean, Connie?
Well, we all just talk about what we think things mean and our experiences, and we just share.
Yes.
Share and share.
Yeah. I love it when people speak up, and sometimes people that you'd least expect speak up and comment. And it's cool. That is one of the greatest joys for me as a teacher, pastor-teacher, is that teaching of the word and getting the points down on the inside of people. I would encourage people to join us. You know, we've got a room that's a good size room, very nice, air conditioned, really cool, right off the pool, and it's adequate for our needs right now. And everybody's welcome to join us this Wednesday night between 6 and 7, and then we get started with the Bible study right at 7. So that's an exciting thing. God's doing good things. We are also venturing out into other churches and ministering in other places, and that's where we were last week in Pensacola. So, Connie, talk to me a little bit about this whole concept of problems among people in relationships, in churches. Why is there so much trouble? Because, I mean, I hear people say, oh, well, I left such and such a church because it just seemed like there was this little group over here. They were just buddies within themselves. They weren't reaching out to other people, and they were, you know, they didn't include me. I didn't feel a part. Have you ever heard that or ever seen that in a church, Con?
Oh, absolutely. It's hard because, you know, if you're not in the clique,
right,
you know, it's difficult. And you know, I think sometimes pastors, you know, kind of have their little favorite people, or maybe they're just caught up in their own stuff,
right?
You know, and problems and things, and they don't see that,
like,
they're
teacher's pets,
alienating,
you mean?
People,
right? Yeah.
But and people, you know, not just pastors, but you know, but people just get caught up in. And, you know, sometimes they don't like, I don't know, I guess they have their own little biases, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. And people are quick to, in my opinion, a lot of times in churches, and I've grown up in church all my life. I mean, from the time I was born, my dad took his first pastorate when I was 2 weeks old. So I grew up as a pastor's kid and then a missionary's kid and then an evangelist's kid. And been in the ministry now since I was in my early 20s myself and pastoring two churches full-time and then a youth pastor twice. So that's my little history there. So been around the ministry all these years, Connie, and I have seen so many people hurt by churches. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. You know, if you don't fit into their little mold of what they think you should do or be,
right,
then, you know, they just kind of ignore you.
Right.
Push you out.
Right.
One way or another.
Well, and I find it very interesting, Connie, in John 13 that we're teaching right now about Jesus' attitude of being a servant. He does not sit here and talk about being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Of all people who has the right to,
yes,
you know, he doesn't. He sets the example for us and how we're to treat people.
Exactly. It's all about serving, you know, and serving with an attitude of love and compassion. And really, really caring about the needs of other people and caring about their feelings, you know?
Yeah.
I really think there's a lot of times in personal relationships and in churches, but, you know, let's just talk about home, you know, where everybody lives, where people get so self-centered, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know, it's funny. There was an email going around not too long ago about how we treat people, strangers on the street. We smile, you know, as we pass them on the sidewalk, but yet, and we offer that kindness to a stranger, and yet we don't even treat our family or our loved ones with that same kind of respect. And I don't know if it's we just get so used to each other or, but, you know, one of the biggest problems in relationships is communication and
yes.
And communicating that you have needs, or they, and knowing that they have needs, and you know, just being in tune and gosh, just being present in the situation at the time.
Good point.
You know, it's, you know, we get so tied up in knots over work and whatever, you know, finances, especially nowadays with this messy as the economy is, and
right.
You know, don't you know that there's people fighting constantly about money?
Yes.
And you know, they're just overwrought with things, and instead of pulling into their loved ones and drawing close, they're alienating them.
Right.
Because
right.
They feel like they're, you know, they've got to fix this.
Absolutely.
Instead of turning to the one who can.
The one who can. And a lot of times I think the frustrations of our jobs and the economy and all these things that we all are going through, gas prices and everything else, causes people to be so focused on the problems that they can't see the blessings right around them.
Yeah.
I was just really praying yesterday. I was sitting at an open house because I'm a realtor also, and I was sitting at an open house, and nobody was there, and nobody came, and I was just praying and praying for, you know, where things are right now in the ministry and in the church and so forth, and I really felt God saying to me that we have got to keep our focus on Him through these very, very hard times that people are going through. And when we do that, and how we do that, will change the next moment and the next day and the next month and the next year, if you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we get focused on the problem, though.
Yeah, and that's not going to get you anywhere except for stressed and distraught.
Right. And God's really wanting us to focus on Him and His Word. And that's why I was saying earlier that when we take the time to pick up the Bible and look at it and say, God, show me something here, He will show us something. He always comes through, you know?
Always. He always does. if you let him.
Well, that's the whole thing, don't you think? It's letting him?
Mm-hmm.
And why do we not take the time to, if our answers are there in the Word of God, and we know that by just picking it up and reading for a few minutes, we can have an attitude shift, we can have faith begin to rise in us, because the Word says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what happens is you begin to read the Bible and your faith begins to rise. Your mind hears it, whether you read out loud or not. I really encourage people to read out loud, because so that you really hear it, you know. But as you begin to hear it, then your faith begins to rise, and then your attitude begins to change.
Mm-hmm. But you have to consistently do it, and you have to make the time to do it and make the effort.
Absolutely. And it's all about learning how, I think, in this life, how to live victoriously and how not to give in to the stresses and the frustrations and the problems. None of us have that all down pat. We all do it, right? We all give in to those things.
Yes, emotions.
The emotions.
And the emotions do that to us.
And I think a lot of times, Connie, the emotions that we get so frustrated with everything going on around us, and all the things that we feel like aren't meeting up to our expectations. And then we react to people, probably in a very unkind way.
Yeah, knee-jerk.
Yeah. What do you mean by knee-jerk? Why don't you explain that to our audience?
Well, it's like a reflex. You know how when the doctor checks your reflexes and taps on your knee, and your knee kicks out your foot kicks out when he hits that nerve.
Right.
You know, when somebody hits your nerve, your reaction is to lash out, or, you know, whatever your normal compensatory mechanism is, whatever you normally do in a situation like that.
Right.
You know, you might yell, you might scream, you might all of a sudden withdraw and just be real quiet and, you know, pull to yourself, or you might hit. There are people who hit.
Right.
And, you know, and there's so much, so many times anger is demonstrated. People see anger in other people, but it's actually their fear coming out as anger.
Yes, absolutely.
Fear is a horrible thing.
It is. I totally agree with you, and that's a good point. And I do believe it translates into anger a lot of times, and into rude remarks and things that are inappropriate. But because people are afraid down on the inside and don't really know how to react a lot of times.
And then you say things that you can't ever take back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, our tongues are so powerful, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they can cause so much pain and so much destruction. And, you know, for years, growing up in the ministry, Connie, I have seen so many people hurt in the ministry by the actions of others, the statements of others. It's common. It's common. It's common. In fact, it's so common that a lot of people use that very thing as an excuse to stay home from church, because they say that group is just a bunch of hypocrites. They can't even really love each other. You know, they're just mean to each other, you know?
Gosh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'd hate for people to think that's the way we are.
Well,
I'd be ashamed.
Absolutely. And I think that it is time to learn to love each other. And I'm going to teach on this in just a couple minutes, Connie, the importance of loving each other, not just at home or not just, you know, in our families, but especially in church, especially in the workplace, especially out there. You know, you made a point a minute ago about how people are so quick to be kind to strangers. I don't know about you if you've noticed this, and I'm sure you have, but everywhere I go, people are always saying, well, have a good day, have a good day. You know, that's like a common thing that everybody says to each other these days, you know. Or if you get an email from somebody, normally it ends with, have a good day, you know. And I mean, there's that kindness, you know, that people are wanting to extend, yet so often to those closest to us, we aren't that kind, you know?
No.
In fact, we're a party to helping somebody have a bad day instead of a good day, you know?
Especially when you start a fight just before they leave for work or something.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We're going to talk in this next teaching segment here about what it really means to love each other. Because Jesus in John 13 goes down in about verse 31 for those who have their Bibles and talks about the new command that he's going to leave with them as he goes to the cross. This is basically his last command. This is the thing that his whole ministry is based on, is this new command. And we're going to talk about it. And we've kind of been giving them clues all along here, haven't we, Connie?
Yes.
And your next song that you picked out by Ray Bolts, who is, by the way, an Indiana boy, and I don't know him personally, but I've been to his concerts, and what a great guy, great singer. This song he recorded, Loving Each Other, I think kind of sets the tone for what we're going to talk about in this next teaching segment. And Connie, I know you're on your way to work. If you want to come back later about 5:35, feel free. If you need to be on in there to the hospital, that's okay too. So
I'll come back. I don't have to be in until 6.
Okay. All right, then. We'll see you in a few moments. Loving Each Other by Ray Bolts.
Your eyes are bright. My eyes are blue. That doesn't mean that I can't love you. You found a place here in my heart. So take my hand. Loving each other, loving the Lord, serving together in one accord. There's no young or old here, there's no rich or poor. Loving each other, your eyes are brown, my eyes are blue. He gave his life for me and for you. We all have a place here in his heart. Loving the Lord, serving together in one accord. There's no young or old here, there's no rich or poor. Loving each other, and of skin, they were all created to glorify him. By loving each other, loving the Lord.
Praise God. Loving each other. Loving the Lord. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister. And on the air with you every Sunday, almost always live. And we are live today in beautiful Clearwater, Florida. And the sun is shining and the water is gorgeous. And it's a wonderful day. We have so many of you that are listening from other places. And we have a group in Indiana. And we thank God that our dear friend Joan, who's been on the radio with us many times, has been very ill, but now beginning to really improve. So blessings to you, Joan, and your husband Leonard today, and your brother Lloyd and his wife Cindy and our gang up there in Indiana. We just thank God for you and for your support. And I just wanted to mention today on the air how much we love you and how much we appreciate you as being a part of Beacon of Hope. We are studying today in John 13. And we are in about verse 31, and we've been studying the book of John here for a couple months. And Jesus has, this is the Last Supper, and he begins to talk to the disciples, and this is really his last parting discussion with them before the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross. And here's what he says. When he had left, Jesus said, and he's talking about Judas. Judas had left to go out and betray him. So what is left now? Jesus and 11 disciples sitting in the upper room. And by the way, the world was turned around and upside down by these 11 who got a hold of this very message. They got a hold of it. They got it down on the inside of them, and it turned the world upside down. It wasn't 1,100. It wasn't 11,000. It was 11 people who absolutely got this and ran with it. And that is what God is calling today. He's calling for soldiers who will get the essence of the gospel and run with it. And Jesus said this to those 11 that were left in the room. Now the Son of Man is seen for who he is, and God seen for who he is in him. The moment God is seen in him, that means God is being seen in Jesus, God's glory will be on display. In glorifying him, he himself is glorified. Glory all around. Children, I am with you only for a very short time longer, Jesus says. You're going to look high and low for me. But just as I told the Jews, I'm telling you, where I go, you're not able to come. Because he was talking about the cross and the death, but the resurrection. So then he says in verse 34, this is one of the most important things Jesus says. And keep in mind, it's one of the last things he says to the 11 who are going to change the world. Let me give you a new command. Here it is. It's three words. If you take notes, write this down. Love one another. There it is. He says, this is the new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. Now, that is profound right there. Jesus said, in the same way I loved you, you have to love each other. How did Jesus love us? And how does he love us now? He loves sacrificially. He loves with a servant's attitude. He loves with understanding, compassion. He loves with kindness, mercy, and grace. That's how Jesus loves. He said, the way I love, you need to love that way. He doesn't love with judgment, criticism. He doesn't love with envy, jealousy, strife. Jesus said, you got to love the way I love. And he loved perfectly and completely. Even though his disciples were all human, had a lot of issues and a lot of problems. Peter was going to deny him three times that very night, yet Jesus loved him unconditionally. And what does Jesus say to us about the new command he's giving us? Love one another. It's very simple. He doesn't say here, okay, here's the last thing I want to say to y'all. Y'all need to get in the Old Testament and memorize all the rules. You got to make sure you got all those rules down because you got to do them all. You got to slay this animal at a certain time. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. You got to do that. He doesn't even talk about the law or the rules in this last profound thing that he says to the 11 that are going to carry the gospel around the world. He says three words to them. This is the command. Three words. And it's so simple. And these words are love one another. And in the same way, he goes on to say, these are Jesus' words. Listen to them from the Message Bible. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. How did Jesus love? He loved sacrificially. And he loved unconditionally. Unconditionally. We are creatures of conditional love. Well, if you do this and this and this, I'll love you. You know, if you behave a certain way and you give me this and you treat me a certain way, I'll love you in response. And Jesus loved and still does unconditionally. Jesus loves you so much, my friend, no matter what it is that you have going on in your life, what your hangups are, what your issues are, what your problems are, Jesus loves you just the way you are. He loves you so much that he went to the cross and died for you. That's how much he loves you. And Jesus loves unconditionally, and he says, love one another. And then he goes on and he says, here's how you got to love. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. Jesus doesn't give us an out here. He doesn't say, you know, it's okay to be real, you know, just kind of only love those who treat you right. Only love those who give you the respect that is due you. Only love those that always agree with you. Only love those that are constantly going out of their way to make you comfortable. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, love the way I have loved you. How did Jesus love? He gave grace and mercy, compassion, understanding. Was Jesus jealous? No. Was Jesus envious? No way. No way. Was Jesus full of anger and wrath? No. Did he have some moments where he displayed some anger? Yes. Righteous indignation. But he explained it and he did not dwell on that. And he said, it's okay to be angry. There are things that are going to make us angry. Then he goes on to say in Ephesians through Paul, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't harbor that anger. Don't harbor that resentment. Don't let that thing turn into bitterness and really destroy you. He says, instead, you have to learn to forgive. All the way through, he talks about forgiveness in Mark 11, 23 and 24 and 25. And Jesus, these are Jesus' words, and he is talking about moving that mountain. He says, speak to that mountain. Command it to go into the sea. And he said, when you do that, when you say it, he said, you'll be shocked at what happens. This is Mark 11, 23, 24, and 25. And then verse 25 says, and you got to forgive. If there's anybody that you have wronged or has wronged you, you've got to flow in forgiveness. Dear folks, I propose to you today that really loving each other is absolutely intertwined with forgiving each other. You see, because so often relationships in churches, relationships in homes, and in workplaces are destroyed because people don't understand the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness looses us. It frees us up. Forgiveness absolutely brings freedom to us when we forgive and let go of an offense. When we harbor offenses, how can we truly love? Jesus is our perfect example of forgiveness because he died on the cross for the forgiveness of all of our sin. And he did that as an example to us. In other words, this whole John 13 is talking about being a servant, being willing to be like Jesus. Jesus was willing to wash these dirty feet of the disciples. And he says, you do this too. What does that mean? I think that means getting the scum off, the dirt off. And so often we do that through the act of forgiveness. And that is the true act of love. When we reach out and we say to somebody, you know what? I don't agree with you. I don't like what you did, but I forgive you. You don't owe me anymore. I let it go. And that is the true act of love. Love does not harbor resentments. Love does not hang on to the junk that people do to us. Love does not carry it around like a big old backpack on our back. Love does not carry around the grudges. Love does not do that. I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for just a moment, and then we'll bring Connie back in a few moments after a song. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says this, and he says, I'm bankrupt without love. That's, and this is 1 Corinthians 13, about verse 4. He says, I'm bankrupt without love. And then he goes and gives a description. And I've married so many people through the years, performed the wedding ceremonies. And so often I like to use this passage because it is the perfect description of what love is. Love never gives up. Listen to these. I'm in 1 Corinthians 13, about verse 4 in the Message Bible. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Wow. I love the Message Bible, and I teach out of it all the time because it is down to earth, our language, and says it like we understand it. Puts up with anything. Love puts up with anything. Trust God always. Now, some of you may say, well, what about a person that's battered? Now, wait a minute. We could go off on extremes. No, you shouldn't put up with being battered, you know. But we're talking about the idiosyncrasies in people. Trust God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. And then he says, love never dies. Or in one translation, love never fails. Love never gives up. Listen to this song, Love Found a Way by Wayne Watson. I'll be right back.
An angel stood with flaming sword at Eden's darkened gate. The frightened family faced a world now filled with Satan's hate. These fallen children God so loved were lost in fear alone. Now love would spare no cost to bring them home. Love found.
Praise God. Love found a way. We are free because love found a way, and Jesus is the absolute personification of that love. You're listening to Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with my buddy Connie Farmer. Are you there, Connie?
Yes.
Wow, that's a great song by Wayne Watson, isn't it?
Yes. You know, it never ceases to amaze me the way he uses that music.
Yes.
In these programs, because some of them, you know, say exactly what we want to say, and then some of them just kind of, it just floats in.
It does, doesn't it? It just really just, and we pray about the theme for the radio show, but we don't plan what we're going to say, and I know what I'm going to teach, but I don't write it out or any notes or anything like that. We let the Holy Spirit lead, and we just trust that God's word gets out and does what needs to be done in people, and that they listen to it and that they grow by it. That's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think about these things on love, Connie, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Ooh. That's pretty strong, don't you think?
It's true, though. I when you think of, you know, I think of couples who've been married for a long, long time. And,
right.
And how they weather all kinds of situations. And I think Scott Peck in his book, I can never remember the name of it. But he said it's the level of commitment.
Yes.
That keeps people together no matter... You know, because you fall in and out of love with each other constantly throughout
right.
your life together.
Right.
But it's the level of commitment that keeps you together.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, that's the very same thing in our spiritual lives. It boils right down to commitment, don't you think, Con?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and love for God. I mean, I think a lot of times people wander in and out of churches and they use excuses that people aren't loving. And that's true. A lot of times people aren't loving and we are human and we make mistakes. Pastors make mistakes. My heavens, I got a long list of my mistakes. You know, we all are human and we say and do things and we handle situations the way we think it should be handled. And later we look back and think, oh, I wish I would have handled that differently. And I can tell you scores of stuff like that through my 20 some years of pastoring that I wish I would have handled differently. But if I am nothing, if I am not loving, and that is the essence of the Christian life, don't you think, Con?
Yes, absolutely. Loving.
And go ahead.
You know, people are not going to be willing to come and share their most horrific times with somebody if they don't feel like anybody cares.
Right.
And if they can't share it to get help for it, you know, they're no better off.
Exactly. Well, and in so often in churches, people need to be vulnerable. They need to tell what's really going on in their lives so that they can get help. And then so often you hear little people over on the corner saying, well, did you hear about what she said? Rah, rah, rah. And nitpicking, you know? And I really believe this is a big problem. We are to love one another the way Jesus loved us, and he loved us sacrificially, you know?
Yeah, without any kind of ulterior motives. So many times we have, you know, you're trying to get into a relationship with somebody, a love relationship or even a friendship sometimes, because you want to see what they can do for you.
Right. And it's not about that. It's about what we can do for them, right?
Right.
In this 1 Corinthians 13, Connie, it says, love doesn't strut and doesn't have a swelled head and doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. You know, I see that so much. In fact, Connie, I'm writing my third book. Last year, I wrote and published. We published under Beacon of Hope Publishing two books, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace and Living Large and Loving It. And we sold quite a few of those and autographed them last week in Pensacola. That was fun, wasn't it?
That was great.
Yeah,
yes.
It was great. And these are labors of love. And if you're interested in either of those books, you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and order them. In the writing of these, I had actually written a book before these that is now one that I am trying to get finished up. It's book number 3. And the title of it, I think right now, unless God changes that title, is going to be Truly Leading. And it's about being leaders in the body of Christ and what God is calling us to do and the changes that must be made in leaders. It's not okay to just, you know, get this thing of all about me first and me this and me that, and I'm the leader, so I get preferential treatment and all of that. It's all about being a servant and letting God's love flow through us to everybody around us, Con. That's what it's all about.
You know, I was just taken back last weekend by the group of people, especially the ones the whole group, but the ones that took us to lunch and how they were so, you know, they just wanted to do things for us. And I've always been the doer, not the, you know, receiving
right.
on the receiving end. And it was just so, it was so nice, but yet it was uncomfortable for me because I'd never been, not really been in that position before.
You're always the one doing, cooking the extra casseroles and making sure everybody's comfortable and meeting the new people and all of that. And it was kind of nice to have that done for us, wasn't it? So,
yeah.
And, you know, the ministry, taking Beacon of Hope Ministries on the road and to other churches now, is to build up that local church. We are not about building up Beacon of Hope because Beacon of Hope is what it is. And we are wanting to lend our services, to give our services to other churches and come in and encourage them in the work of the Lord and encourage them to get in the Word and encourage them to be all they can be in God. You know, that's love, don't you think? I mean, that's what
Absolutely.
It's all about.
Gosh, yes. You know, I wanted to make a point from the last discussion that we had about serving and making sure that we realize that serving doesn't mean being a doormat.
Right.
You know, and that you are serving others, but, you know, you have to also take care of yourself.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just you're not putting yourself first
right.
in the priorities.
Right. Yeah, and it's that attitude of kindness, you know. I don't know. I've seen this so many times through my life where people are rude and they are brusque and they are what's the word for it? Kind of overbearing and controlling. You see it a lot in churches. You see where people are, it's my way or the highway, and it's all about control and power struggles. And Jesus was not like this. He did not do that with his disciples. He never taught a gospel of power and control. You know what I'm talking about?
Never. He never did.
And he was simply always saying, you got to love sacrificially. You got to love unconditionally. You got to let the love of God come through you, the kindness, the gentleness. I love, there's a scripture, Connie, in Psalms 18. David says, thy gentleness makes me great. And I've always loved that scripture in Psalm 18. That, in fact, Psalm 18 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And if those of you out there looking for something to read right now, I would encourage you to read Galatians, read the book of John, and read Psalm 18. It'll bless you so much. And David talks about God's gentleness working through him. And that's what makes him great. He doesn't say that it's all my knowledge and all my wisdom and all my wealth or all my position. He was the king of Israel. You know, David was the second king, and he went through an awful lot of issues to get to be that king. But when he became the king, he had a servant's attitude. He was a shepherd boy, and he had a love for God. And he says at the end of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I believe when we love God like that, then really goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our lives.
Absolutely.
Yep.
There's a really good book called Servant Leader.
Yes.
And it's just about using the leadership techniques of Jesus. And, you know, it's just a great, great book. And to ever be that kind of a leader, I should be so lucky.
Right. Well, and that's what we're working on right now. What I'm working on right now, this Truly Leading, is about that kind of an attitude and how to go about being a faithful, consistent, loving leader in the body of Christ. And it translates also into our homes, you know, into our daily life. Love isn't the rest of this. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. You know, I was talking a minute ago, Connie, about the need for forgiveness. And I think a lot of resentments and bitterness build up in people when they keep score.
Definitely. And you know they do.
I've known a lot of people that have kept score. Yeah.
Yeah.
About how they were wronged and what was said and how it was done. And Jesus never teaches us to keep score. You know, he teaches us to love unconditionally and to forgive. That's what he teaches. What do you think about all that?
Well, it's kind of tough to do, you know, but I think that the more you learn and read his teaching, and you it's a conscious effort to strive to be more like him.
It really is.
You have to do it. You have to make an effort.
Well, that brings us back full circle to what we were talking about at the beginning of the broadcast, and that is we have to take time to allow the Word of God to wash us, you know, wash us emotionally and spiritually and teach us these concepts, you know.
Mm-hmm. Open our eyes.
Open our eyes. It's not okay just to go through a weeks on end and not read our Bible and not study. It's not okay.
And open the eyes of our heart, too.
Yes. What does that mean to you, Connie?
It means just making us aware of what he wants us to do and be, and within our heart, longing for that and being able to pull it into your heart and treat people that way.
Yes. Be able to actually put it in your daily life, right?
Yeah.
And not just know the concept of loving unconditionally and sacrificially, but be able to actually put it into practice on a daily basis.
Right.
Do you have some final thoughts before we go to a song? Because I know you're going to need to walk into the hospital in just a moment and go to work.
Well, I just think that, you know, loving each other, whether it's a romantic relationship or just a friendship, you know, people are our greatest allies. You know, we're here on earth, put here to be with other people, not to be on our own, but to be in fellowship with others and
Amen.
To be able to get along. And, you know, why not do something for somebody else that you know that they would appreciate? It can only come back to you. And even if it doesn't come back to you, you know, you feel good about what you've done for them.
Exactly.
You've made them happy. You've made their day.
Amen.
And but yet God sees to it that when we do things like that we're rewarded many times over.
We reap what we sow, right?
Yep.
We really do.
Absolutely.
Well, you're a blessing to me at Beacon of Hope, and you're a blessing on the air with us, Connie. And we hope you have a great night at work. And she takes care of little babies. She's a respiratory therapist. So God bless you. Thanks for being on. Listen to this song. Listening audience, and I want to come back and talk to you about a couple more things. It's entitled This Love by Avalon.
I know it's love you doubt, but you're lost without.
God, I love that. His love can change your life forever. The love of God we've been talking about on this show today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We've been talking about the command, the last thing that Jesus actually commanded the 11 disciples who were left in the upper room after Judas walked out to betray him. This is what Jesus' parting words were to them. Here's the new commandment. Love one another. He goes on in John 13 to say that they're going to know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. That is the key. It's the attitude of being a servant. It's an attitude of reaching out and loving each other, whether it's at church, at home, in the workplace, or among your friends, those you hang out with. It's all about your attitude. We talk a lot about this at Beacon of Hope because I believe that God wants us to be set free from the old chains of unforgiveness and worry and doubt and hurts and bitterness that a lot of us have carried around for a long time. Jesus came to set us free. It says in Isaiah chapter 51 in verse 14 in the New American Standard Bible, it says the exile, and some of us have felt like exiles, the exile will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. I say to you today, listening audience, it is time to be set free from the bondages of hurts and bitterness and unforgiveness and all the things, the anger that has bound us up. And it's time to be free and learn to love the way Jesus loved. He said, love the way I love. And that is sacrificially. And he said, if you love like this, people are going to know that you are my disciples. It is that simple. This message, the message of the gospel, is all about love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is John 3:16. And that is vital. That is vital to your personal walk. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, simply pray and ask him to come into your heart and tell him that you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and that you want him to live in you, and ask him to forgive you for the things you've said or done that were not pleasing to him, and he will do it. Jesus loves you so much. He's got a plan for your life. That is our message here on Living the Good Life. He wants you to live that good life. He wants you to learn to be blessed, to live well, to live blessed. He wants you to learn to live above your circumstances, not letting your circumstances defeat you, but to learn to love people and love life, because God has given you the life that you have. We welcome you to come to Beacon of Hope if you're in the Tampa Bay area on Wednesday nights. Right now, that's the only time we're meeting on a weekly basis because of a location. But we are at the corner of 580 and US 19. And there is a Howard Johnson's Resort right there, right beside the Kia dealership. It is on the west side of the street. We will be there Wednesday night from 6 to 9. We welcome you to Beacon of Hope. If you are not in our area, we're glad you've tuned into the radio broadcast. Tell a friend and ask them to tune in. We are on Tantalk1340.com, so no matter where in the world you are, this broadcast can be heard live. Go to our website, BeaconofHopeMinistries.com, and you can learn about the ministry. And also, if your church or assembly would like for me to come and minister there, and we would love to do that, you can contact us now at bookings@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. You can always contact me personally at pastor@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. And I'll be glad to respond to you. So if your church is interested in a special weekend or a special service, contact us at bookings@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. My special thanks to Connie. She's always a blessing when she comes on the air with us. And we invite you to tune in next week at this time at 4:34, and that's Eastern Standard Time, and other time zones will have to adjust accordingly. But we're excited to be with you every week for our 90-minute show. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister bringing you Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are so glad you joined us today. Don't forget that God loves you so much. No matter what you're going through, He has a plan for your life. He cares about the details that you are going through. All He asks is that you reach out and talk to Him. We like to close with this song, "It's Not Far to Jesus. His loving arms are waiting for you." Listen to this as we sign off today. It's not far to Jesus. Just run to Him. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He loves you, and so do we. We'll see you next week at 4:34 on this radio station.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to